must love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Let us pray. Father, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. Thank you for the love you have demonstrated that while we were still sinners, Christ died. That you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, and whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Speak to our hearts this morning about this important subject of your love. And help us, those who share your life, that we want to share your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to know what love is. In the year of my high school graduation, 1984, there was a very popular song on the radio titled, I Want to Know What Love Is, by the rock band Foreigner. This also rock band came to Fort Wayne, and they invited Brother Marshall White to direct and lead his choir in singing the background or the refrain of this song. The refrain of the song is repetitive, it's melodic and memorable. You know it. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. I want to feel what love is. I know you can show me. And that's the repetitive refrain over and over in this song. This quest to discover the answer to the song's refrain or chorus, I want to know what love is found in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John reveals not only can we know what love is, but more importantly, we can know who love is. Hallelujah. John's first letter is addressed to the church at Ephesus. The ancient city ruins of Ephesus are located in modern-day Turkey, near the Aegean Sea. John presents within the body of his epistle a fourfold purpose. But the first purpose is in 1 John 1:4, where John says, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. The second purpose is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The third purpose is in 1 John 2, verse 26. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. And the fourth purpose, which is really the heart of the letter, is 1 John 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The first letter of John is the great book of perfect love. It's mentioned 46 times within 135 verses, that in our English translations is 5 chapters. It's that great love of that great God I want to explore this morning. May the Spirit of God speak to your hearts as we consider reasons why we are to love one another. For some people need a reason. They just don't automatically love you. But the Bible says there are reasons. As you know, John was writing his overall attack against the heresy of Gnosticism. I won't go into that because we just heard a lot of good stuff on Gnosticism and the teachings of Gnosticism, that denying the deity of Jesus Christ. And that was the heresy that was flowing through the church of Ephesus. So the Apostle John lays out for us reasons for why we should love, here it is, with a perfect love. He gives us three. The first one is, because love is the essence of God. That's the first one. Love is the essence or the nature of God. The second one, love is manifested by Christ or revealed by Christ. And third, love is our testimony. So the first motive, which is a reason, is because love is the essence of God. John commands us in verse 7 of first epistle in the fourth chapter. He commands us, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. He's talking to believers. As indicated by the opening word, beloved, agapetos is the word in Greek. It means dearly loved ones. It's a term of endearment. Those whom God loves, he says, let us love one another. Habitually here, the Greek verb agape or agapao, it's the love of the will. See, when your emotions get low, you don't feel like that. But he's not asking you to love with your emotions. He's asking you to love with your will. Agape is the love of the will. It's a love that is unconditional. It's a love that seeks the highest good for the one who is loved. It's a love of total commitment. It's a love of self-sacrificial love. It's not the love, as Tina Turner would say, a secondhand emotion. Love got everything to do with it in the Christian life. It's not physical love, eros love. It's not friendship love, philia love. It's not even storge love, family love. It's the love of the will, agape love. It is the love that chooses under pressure, chooses in the midst of conflict. This love chooses to love. It's an unconditional positive regard to those who are disregarded, neglected, and overlooked. Agape love. We are commanded to love. Now that makes sense because God never commands us to feel. And I can't command you to feel happy at this moment because it's next to impossible for that to happen. It won't happen just because of our makeup as human beings, our psychological makeup, our neurological makeup, all the things in our body. When I see something exciting, then my body gets excited. Tonight we're going to be cheering for the Eagles, praise the Lord. And what's going to happen? And what's going to happen? Your body's going to get involved. Your eyes are going to be involved. Your neurological synapses is going to be firing because of what you see. So God never commands an emotion out of us. He always commands the will. Listen, we are commanded to do that with a love of the will. Verse 8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God. Not know God intellectually or academically, but you don't know God intimately. You don't know God personally or interpersonally because God is love. And here is the essence, the nature of God's is love. God is the source and the substance of love. The foundation for all other loves flow for the Christian out of this foundational love called agape. If you have agape love, then you're going to have storge love. That's family love. And then brotherly love. That's filial love. And then if you're married in a committed relationship called marriage, you will have eros love. The foundation of your love life and your love experiences is the love of God. Verse 7 says love is from God. Verse 8 says God is love. Now what John is simply saying is let us who are the beloved of God, who belong to God through Christ, love consistently. In 1 John, the first chapter, verse 5, John says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So we learn that the essence or nature of God is light, and also that God's essence is life. It's light, and it's life. That is reiterated in 1 John. Chapter 1, verse 2. The life was made manifest. And we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim it to you, the eternal life. That eternal life in that text is the Word of life, who is Jesus Christ. He is eternal life. And he gives eternal life because he's the source. God is light, and God is life. And here in this text, God is also love. He's light, he's life, and he's love. If we then know God, as we say we do, if the life of God is in us, and the light of God is in us, then the love of God is in us. If we walk in the light, if we possess life, we have received the love. So the command is clear. Let us love one another. Not love one another the way you want to love one another, but to love one another as God in Christ loved you. So you can't define love. All you can do is express it. What does that look like? This kind of love that we love one another with. Well, you heard it earlier. I'm going to read it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 4 through 7. I'm reading from the Message Bible. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than of self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swell head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flattery of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Not only that, but it is a love that we are to continue demonstrating to one another. It's an ongoing, unending, interpersonal demonstration. The Apostle John would not let us get away with saying, I showed them love, even though they hurt me deeply. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle John will settle for nothing less than, I'm going to continue to show them love. Even love is from God, and whoever loves, secondly, has been born of God and knows God. You've been born of God, you know God. That's why you pray for your enemies. That's why you love those who hurt you, disappoint you, frustrate you, irritate you, annoy you, and ignore you. You love them. We must continue in love because love comes from God. And we're claiming to be children of God through Christ by faith. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God intimately. John is making a radical statement because he is saying to us that depending on whether we choose to continue to show love to each other, we are revealing where we are in our faith. At that moment, we will demonstrate whether we are truly infants in Christ or mature. We will display if we are walking by the Spirit or being led by the flesh. And the reason is because love comes from God. You can't build this up emotionally. It won't work emotionally. This is supernatural love. Here's the practical implication of continuing to love the difficult brothers and sisters in your interpersonal relationship. Even when we don't feel like showing someone love, we will continue to do so because God has changed our heart by giving us the desire to please and serve Him over pleasing and serving self. That's why. And that choice proves and validates that we are born again, that we are born of God, that we belong to God, which is what being born of God means. It also demonstrates that we know God intimately. Alexander the Great, who had a soldier who bore his name, he was unfaithful in duty and demonstrated cowardice. And Alexander called this young man to himself, and he said this: either change your behavior or change your name. If you can't love like Jesus, change your name. Start calling yourself Christian. Call yourself something else. Before you bring disdain on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's in a sense what John is saying to those who profess Christ. If you can't change your behavior, change your name. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, if you're going to say you belong to God and you truly are His follower, then conduct yourself as He would with love. Remember, I'm not asking you to feel love towards Him. I'm asking you to choose to act in a loving way to them, even if they oppose you. That's not human. That's divine. We are to bear the reflection of God, and we are to adorn the teaching of God. And the only way we can do that is through our living. I don't want my living to be in heaven. It is a living experience to know God and experience God through His Word. Is living it out. Is obeying what He says, even though we don't see the practical benefit for ourselves. That's why being born of God and knowing God is so significant. It's not you that will show love to that person, but instead the Spirit of God working through you and in you that's loving that person. Why? Because you're being under His auspices. As the late Reverend James W. Blessed would say, the auspices of the Holy Spirit. He's loving through you. Remember I told you the story that after each service, Pastor Blessed Soul understand the biblical reality that he understood. Because that's the only way to love like Christ is for Christ to love through you. And I didn't know that. I thought it was in my humanity, in my flesh, in my profession, in my knowledge of God, that I was supposed to love people like Jesus. I can't do anything like Jesus unless Jesus does it through me. Oh, I love that. I love that. Oh, my goodness. Beloved, we are God's children manifesting his nature in the world. And we start off manifesting his nature with one another. Why do we love the strangers more than we love the friends? Why is it that we can talk to children we don't know and holler at the children we do know? Love at home, and that love will spread abroad. We are God's children manifesting his nature in the world. So a good place to practice is in the context of the local church. It's in contact with fallen, redeemed sinners like yourself, where you feel frustrated by a fellow brother and sister. You feel annoyed and irritated by them, but you ask for the love of Christ to help you to love the way Jesus would that irritating brother and sister. It starts at home in the body of Christ before it ever is displayed in the world. We're not talking about human love. We're not talking about temporal love. We're not talking about sexual love or human affection. We're talking out here about his transcendent love. We're talking about spiritual love, known only to those who are born of God and knows God. The world will never, ever know the perfect love of God unless they are born of God and are intimate. This love is for his own. I'm going to hear that this morning. This love I'm talking about, agape love, is for the body of Christ. It's not for the world. It's a special love. Turn to John 13, the gospel, verse 1. If you dare say amen. The writer, John, says, "Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own, who were what? In the world. He loved them are the words of Christ and the new covenant ratified by his blood at Calvary. When we come to the Lord's table, we're coming with a new covenant. The new covenant brings life, not death. It empowers, doesn't condemn. We are commanded to love one another because he is the giver of that love. And to everyone born of God is granted that love. It is a spiritual love. Galatians 5:22 calls this love the fruit of the Spirit. And like any fruit, it has the capacity, beloved, to grow more and more and more in the life of those who are born of God and know God. God is not finished growing himself in you. If you are born of God, you know God. You're relational with God. You don't know him from a distance. You know him close up and personal, face to face. Everyone who loves is giving evidence that they have been born of God. Remember, we're talking about the children of God, the people of God. We're not talking about the world. You would say the way the world loves, not like this. They don't love with agape love. You have to be born again. Romans 5:5. Let's look at that verse. Romans 5:5. See, this is the only way you can receive this kind of love. Romans 5:5. And it says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Well, that's the way you receive it. When you're regenerated, when you're born of God, born again, and you experience eternal life. When is eternal life? When you die and go to heaven? No. It's now. You have received eternal life now. And it's that life that lives in you now by the Spirit. And he wants to manifest the life, the light, and the love of God in us, the believer. This is so rich. If you've been born of God, then the love of God will be demonstrated through your attitudes, through your affections, and through your actions, your character, your conduct, your conversation. If you know God intimately and not necessarily intellectually, if you possess the life of God, if you've been born of God, you have, right now at this moment, the capacity to love like Jesus. That's incredible. And you do love. You will love. And the imperative is to love perfectly or completely as possible one another. In a world where we can now identify as anything we want to be, even though that is not what we actually are, Scripture does not give us the liberty to identify as Christians. You have to be a Christian to identify as one. If we are unwilling to continue showing love to each other, the Bible has no room for you to do the opposite of what it commands. 1 John 3:10 says this, by this it is evident who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Two categories of people in the world. They can be nice people, caring people, loving people, but if they're not in Christ, they're a part of another kingdom. They can be your next door neighbor. They can be your brothers and your sisters, your relatives, your uncles, your cousins, your folks down south and up north, because they're not in the kingdom of God. It's not that you need to treat them any differently. Treat them as you do, as your parents, as your friends, as your cousins, and your people. does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is the one who does not love his brother or sister. You see, what's the evidence of being in the kingdom of God? Is loving one another. That's so important to God. And it's so important that in 1 John, he writes it 46 times in the context of 135 verses in the English translation of 5 chapters. That's just one book. We didn't talk about 1 Corinthians 13 or other passages. 1 Corinthians 14, 13, 15, and 14 talks about love. There's so many passages on this concept. Look at 1 John 4:20. If anyone claims, "I love God," and you got a lot of people talking about they love God, mercy, and hates his brother, in other words, love his brother less, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother or sister, we know that's not gender specific here, it's all believers, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. I've never seen God, but I love him. And I hope in his soon return, Maranatha. But until then, I got to live out his kingdom work. I got to live out his standard in the world and in my relationships. I have to love my brother and sister. Beloved, we have everything we need to do what God has willed us and called us to do. There is an expectation that we are going to rely on the Spirit in times like these. Love is the essence of God. And now let's conclude here with verse 8. Point A, God is love. John writes in 1 John 4, verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. It's more than God loves. It's God is love. So important to understand this. The world is his own love. God and love are interchangeable in one sense. And yet, in another sense, they are not. And I want to point out that point. I want to make that clear. That God and love can be but not always. And this is a point where it's not always interchangeable. The world says, since I love someone, I must be loving because love is God and God is love. And why would God be mad at my lifestyle and my choice of partner because I'm loving them? They are defining love. We're looking at how God defines love. The scriptures reveals through John that God is love, not love is God. The world loves, love is God. So if love is God, then you can do anything you want and call it loving. Say with me. There are people who have said love is king. There are people who have said love is the only God I worship. That's not what the scripture is saying. In the Greek, God has an article. We don't see it in the English translation, but it's the God is love. So when you look at that, love does not have an article. The God is love. This is the definite emphasis on God is love. It does not mean love is God. You can't go back and forth with this truth. But people do. 1 John 4:16 says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God's love is moral. It's ethical. It's spiritual. It is not immoral. It is not lustful. It is not fleshly. So love is not God. God is love. See, God is but a very weak reflection of the love which is in God. For the love in God is independent, unchangeable, eternal, and omnipresent. It does not depend upon us nor aroused by us, but flows free and pure from the depths of his being. It knows no variation, neither falls nor rises, appears nor disappears. And there is not even the shadow of turning about that love. God is love. He himself, holy and perfectly, with his whole being. This love is not subject to time and space. It stands above it, comes down out of eternity into the hearts of the children of God, those who are born of God and know God. Such a love is absolutely dependable, reliable. Our souls can rest in it in every need, including death itself. And if such a God of love be for us, who can be against us? God's love is much greater than we can imagine. Love is so integral to who God is that everything else flows out of it. And because of that, since we have been born of God and we know God intimately, we must make it the priority in our relationships to continue to show love to each other, no matter what they do. That's hard. That's not natural. That's not human. It's supernatural. It's what it means to be a follower of Christ. By doing so, we prove something. We prove a claim that we are children of God. Jesus makes this bold declaration in John chapter 13, verse 35. He says to his disciples, a new commandment I'm going to give you. And he said, by this new commandment, all people will know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for another. Loving one continually with a sacrificial love. Giving one another sacrificial service. Beloved, you have to understand sometimes people in the church should not do things share his love and you share his life, now we are called, beloved, to put this sharing into practice. Love one another as I have loved you. How does Jesus love you? Think about it and love people that way in the body of Christ. And when you do that, and people outside will say, oh, how the Christians love one another. They are being faced with so many adversities, so much pressure, so much trials and tribulations in their life. What do they do? They are not mad at one another. They are loving one another. You know, when you're in a relationship and things don't go right as it should go, what happens? You start attacking each other. But with the love of God, you build each other up when life is trying to tear you down. And since you share in his life, you're called to share his love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray for your guidance to strengthen our bonds with one another. Help us to love and to respect each other through the challenges.